John chapter 21. I walked in this morning. I knew we were going to be down with our numbers because our children's church has gone to Kids Fest. They've had a great weekend. Thank you to everybody who's been praying for them. They had 14 kids go, got 10 adults. The adults are tired. One adult got sick. And if y'all are smart enough, y'all understand the correlation here. She got sick. But they're also going to go out to Cade's Cove where there's no bathrooms. Oh, so bless y'all's heart. We're praying from the safety of our clean sanctuary. Amen. So y'all pray for our students. They're going through Cade's Cove this morning. They're going to be headed home. May even be headed home this way now. John chapter 21. We're going back to this passage of scripture. I'm going to spend today in another sermon, one more sermon after this one, in a little series that I got called I'm Going Fishing. Sometimes we just get to that place where, like Peter did, I'm just going fishing. I'm done. I need a break. I just need to go get a little peace. Anybody in the house ever just need just a little bit of peace? Amen. It's not wrong to say you need peace. It's not wrong to say sometimes you have to take a chill pill. In fact, I encourage you sometimes, if you get to the point of burnout, take a break. Take a breather, sit back and reevaluate, because there's one thing I don't ever want to do is I don't want to get so burnt out in my mind that I lose out on all that God has done. Saints of God, say amen to that right there. Does that mean I need to stop praying? No, it means don't stop praying, but don't put such an emphasis on yourself to make you feel guilty when you don't do it the way you think you ought to do it. I'm preaching good right there, and y'all ain't saying amen. Sometimes we put such a heavy requirement on ourselves that if we don't meet it, then we feel guilty. Anything that we do for God is not out of guilt. Someone say praise God for that right there. What's the first thing the devil wants you to do? If you say, I'm on a fast, and you fail that fast, you automatically feel what? Guilty. That's not what God designed worship and adoration and offerings and tithes. And that's not what that's not guilt. It's a cheerful thing that we get to do. So whenever you find yourself getting to the point, hey, just throw those hands up. Take your breather and just sit back and let God prove himself. Because today, last week, we talked about the man who was on the shore. Y'all remember that part? We talked about, they didn't know who he was last week when we talked about it. Peter and John on the disciples in the point where we preached last week, they didn't even know who the man was. They just saw a man standing on the shore who told them what to do. Now we're going to find out who he is today. So today, let's go to John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples, and he showed himself, and together there was Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two others of the disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. I'm tired. I'm burnt out. I'm going fishing. They say unto him, well, we'll also go with you. And they went forth, and they entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught what? Nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said, children, have you any meat? Have you caught anything? And they answered him, no. And he said, cast your nets on the other side of the ship that you may find. They cast therefore, and now they were unable to draw in the multitude of fish. Now here it is right here. This is what we're going to be looking at tonight today. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, that's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard it, he girt his fisher's coat on, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far off the land, but they were about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw fires of coal there, and fish laid there upon and bread. And Jesus said, bring the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fish, and 153. For all that were there were so many, yet the net was broken. Jesus said, come and dine. And none of the disciples asked him, who are you? Because they knew that he was the Lord. Jesus then comes and takes the bread and gives it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he had been risen from the dead. Today I want to talk about the revelation and the reaction of the disciples. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for your spirit that has been here this morning. I'm glad that I, like what Pastor Ryan said this morning, I don't serve a dead God. I don't read a book full of dead words, Lord, but every time I open up this word of God, Lord, this viable part of the service, Lord, the worship is about you. The worship is our praise and adoration to you, Lord, but this time of preaching, this time of learning is to change the soul of the believer. So, Lord, let us have an ear to receive what you would say to your church this morning. And Father God, Lord, I bless your name, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. And we say amen and amen. You may be seated. Several years ago, I was majoring in biology at UAB. I was going to be a biology teacher, which is just funny to think about sometimes. But I was wanting to teach high school biology and anatomy. And one set of classes I had to take was I had to take organic chemistry. Anybody ever taken organic chemistry? Don't. It makes no sense. Actually, I think you could interpret tongues a whole lot easier than understand organic chemistry because you have the Holy Ghost to help you with the tongues. Amen? But I took organic chemistry, and every week we had to go to a lab. And it was 8 o'clock at UAB, and we had to be in there at 7:45 with goggles and all our protective wear on. We had to have all of our stuff put together. You had to know before the lab what was expected. So we get all our stuff prepared, and we were in there, and we're working on this process. Now I can't tell you if my life depended on it, but it was a several-step process where you add this solution, you would add this solution, you would let it get warm, you would mix it, you would do this, you would do that, you would wash it with this. I mean, a very thorough process. And we got to the very end where we were supposed to be seeing our reaction, and there was no reaction. Well, we tried to start doing some things, minor adjustments, and we started watching other groups who started before us was already getting their reactions and writing down their lab reports, and even was getting to the point where they were ready to start cleaning up their workstation, but Tyler Keene's workstation was still trying to find a reaction. So we kept doing all that we knew to do, and finally we called our lab tech over there, and she came over there, and she looked at it, and she said, "Why did you do it that way?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Why did you do it that way?" I said, "I did it exactly like the book told me to do it." She said, "No, you didn't." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I did." She said, "No, you didn't. If you read the directions right, you would realize that the beaker that you're using is too small." I went, "What does that mean?" And she picked up my tube and she turned it upside down and she shook it like this and she set it down. All of a sudden, the reaction happened. I said, "How did you do that?" She said, "If you would have read the directions the right way, you would have realized that you needed a bigger beaker because you needed a bigger area for the reaction to happen. You didn't give yourself enough space for the reaction to happen, so it stopped it from ever coming to pass." Now, some of you are sitting here going, "Praise the Lord, I have no idea what that has to do." I need all the melodramatic people in the church to listen to me. There are some of you, you need to have room to make your reaction. And the saints of God say, I heard a lot of amens. I knew I'd get right there. Y'all made me cry this morning. I guess y'all saw that. But because I was thinking about my mama this morning, and I was thinking about this sermon that I was going to preach. Because there was a look that my mama had that you better run when you saw that look come across her face. When something would happen, all of a sudden you could feel the temperature in the room increase because hell's fury was about to run into the room right then. And there were times where you didn't even have seconds to get out of the room because she was about to go crazy. And whatever was in her general reach was going to fly with wings as eagles. Somebody say, "Okay, I know what you're talking about." Any women in the house that won't testify to it right there? Okay, I got Felicia raised her hand real brave. Sister Pat did. I know what it's like. I got to have room for my reaction. You better just back up and give me a little space. Is there anybody in here who would say that sometimes I just need room to shout? I just need room to scream? I just need room to cry? Anybody going to shout with me this morning? Anybody going to say amen with me this morning? I don't know if y'all ever notice this, but a lot of times during worship, I don't go around praying for people. And I feel like I should address that again this morning. I don't go around praying for people. You know why? Because I'm having my time of reaction. You're the pastor. You're supposed to go around and pray for everybody. In that moment, I'm a church member. During worship, I'm a church member. And so I'm going to throw my hands up and worship just like the rest of y'all do. Now, sometimes I will step out and I will go around and pray. But when that altar service happens after I preach, all y'all better run down here. Because in that moment, it's your moment to have a reaction. But when during praise and worship, when I'm throwing my hands up and I'm bouncing like a jackrabbit, it's because I'm getting to experience His presence. It's because I'm getting to have my moment of reaction, because I don't know if anybody would agree with me right here, but sometimes when life weighs me down, when I begin to think about the goodness of God, is anybody in the house going to listen to me this morning? When I get so worn out by life and life's troubles, the very moment that my focus is on Him, it begins to change everything about me. When I take my eyes off of the man in the mirror, Sister Jean Wilson, I begin to look unto Him who is the author and finisher of my faith, it begins to do something inside of me. Is there anybody who would say, just preach right there for just a minute? When I get my mind refocused on Him, Brother Ray, and I stop letting the weight of the world try to deter the way I react, I will get my mind focused on Him. And you know what? I don't care how big Goliath is. I don't care how loud the lions roar is. When I get in His presence and my mind is focused on Him, I can't help but cry out, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody in the house who knows what I'm talking about? All right. Amy, I'm trying just to see if I'm going to be able to preach this morning. We're not doing too good. So everybody look at your neighbor and say, just say amen louder next time. Just say amen louder. Just say amen louder. Just say amen a little louder. Last week we talked about Jesus has been risen from the dead. They saw Him. They've experienced Him. And then He leaves again. And that's when Simon Peter just says, y'all, I'm done. Here we are right here. He's having a reaction. He's having a meltdown. He's having a crisis. I'm done. I'm going fishing. I can't do it no more. What do? They say, we're going with you. We don't know what else we can do. We'll load up and we'll go with you. They get on that boat. They go all night and they get no fish. They get nothing. So all night they have to live with the fact, not only has our world turned upside down, not only has Jesus came and left us again, but now we can't even do the thing that we've always been able to do. So what are we supposed to do now? And the man the next morning says, you caught any fish yet? No, sir, we have not caught any fish. Well, why don't you just go to the other side then? I wish somebody would just tell that man on the shore. And remember what I talked about? If they wouldn't have changed where they were standing because they were on one side of the boat, but Jesus on the shore and said, just go to the other side. If they would have been stubborn, any stubborn people in the house, listen right here. If I stay stubborn and say on my side of the boat where nobody can tell me how to change myself, nobody can tell me how to reposition myself, I'll stay with nothing. But if I listen to the man on the shore and I readjust where I'm standing, then I'm going to be able to find the increase. Y'all saying amen right there. Y'all remember that sermon. I enjoyed preaching that sermon because I don't ever want to allow myself to allow the ceiling that I put above myself to limit what my God can do in my life. Because I'm going to tell you, what I have now is not what I always want to keep. I want more of God. I want to experience Him more. I want to see Him in His fullness. I want to see Him in His glory. So if I want to stay little right now, I'm going to be little. But I'm going to grow a little bit more in Jesus because there's more of Him out there than what I know right now. But if I stay in the same place, I'll never find more. If I stay in the same place, I'll stay in my failures. But you remember what I preached to you last week. My failure is not God's failure. Because when I failed, Jesus said to step to the other side and try it over there. Well, it won't work over here. So what makes you think it'll work over there? Because God said so. So I don't mean to preach last week's sermon, but I feel like I need to review it. I almost said a bad word. Sometimes you just need to be quiet. Sometimes you just need to hush up your mouth and listen to what God is telling. Where is it, Jeanette? Jeanette, where are you? Zip zap. Zip zap. That's what she said leadership means. Zip zap. Sometimes we just got to be quiet and let God show me that He knows what He's doing. Let me just stay over here in a little. Let me just stay over here in nothing. Let me just stay over here in my failure. When instead, I wish somebody would listen to what I'm preaching. I'm going to preach in just a minute. But instead of Him saying, hey, you messed up by being on that side, what did He do? Go to the other side.
You shouldn't have been on that side all night. He didn't say it. Go to the other side. He didn't argue with them. He didn't cut them down. He didn't condemn them. Go to the other side. If y'all didn't get last week's sermon, that was a very small snippet of what it was. Verse 7 says, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter. Now, I wasn't there, but I like to think about what it was like when Simon Peter heard it. Sister Eloise, go to the other side. I'll tell you something. And they go to the other side. All of a sudden, they begin to catch the fish. Now, he's amazed because of what's going on. I can only imagine this is exactly the way it happened. While Simon Peter and the other disciples are pulling in the catch, John has got his eyes fixed on something else. While they're focused on the fish, something has caught John's attention. Oh, my Lord, I wish y'all would let me preach this morning the way I feel right here. While they're focused on what they've been looking for, John all of a sudden gets a catch of something else that reminds him of yesterday. Oh, my Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Maybe not yesterday. Maybe that's a bad phrase because I'm over here saying we want to get rid of yesterday. We want to get past. Maybe it reminds you of home. Maybe it reminds you of the peace that he wants you to have. So he looks over and he sees Peter and them pulling the fish because the nets are full of fish because they listen to the random man on the shore. And then John just looks and says, I know that voice from somewhere. And what does he do? He reaches over and he taps the shoulder of Peter. Brother Tyler, this ain't in the Bible. This is my story right here. He taps the shoulder of Peter, who's got it. What do you want, boy? Because there was about a 15 to 20 year age difference in Peter and John. What do you want, boy? Listen, I know that voice over there. I know who he is. That voice is a voice that it can. That voice is the voice I heard pray for me. That voice is the voice I've heard before. That voice is very familiar to. That's not just a man over there on the shore. That's not just somebody who's trying to tell us what to do. That's somebody who's trying to get us somewhere. That's somebody who's there for. That's somebody who came back for. That's somebody who cares for us. Oh my goodness. Let me just go ahead and set the stage a little bit more for you. I'm going to preach pretty hard here in just a minute. But before we get there, you got to realize that John and Peter had a friendship different than any of the other disciples. Because again, Peter was one of the older ones and John was one of the younger ones. And they were both there when the last supper was prepared. They were both there when Jesus went to the garden to pray. They were both there when Judas kissed him on the cheek. They were both there when Mary Magdalene came in and said, taken the body from the tomb. And the Bible says that the young one ran, but he waited for the old one to get there. And when they got there, they both saw that Jesus was not dead in the grave anymore. But the angel said, behold, Jesus is alive and he is risen. They both saw these great and wonderful things. But after they saw all this, we find out that Peter said, I'm going fishing. And John said, I don't know what to do, so I guess I'll just go with you. I don't know what to do because my structure is gone, so we've always done it together. Might as well go ahead and stick with you now. Do y'all see the drama, the crisis going on in this story? Do you see the family that's built right here? I don't know what else to do, so I guess I'm going with you. You see, there was a part of John that was always looking. Oh, my Lord. There was a part of John that was always there, wondering what Jesus was really doing. Wondering what Jesus was about to say. Wondering if Jesus was in the vicinity. Brother Ty, you don't know what you're talking about. John was always looking for Jesus. And he didn't care what anybody else had to say about him. John is referred to as the beloved disciple. John is believed to be the first cousin of Jesus, actually. He's also one of the first followers of Jesus. He was the youngest of the 12. He is the one who laid his head on the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper. And you know what? This is where I'm preaching what I was just saying. He wasn't afraid of what everybody else thought, but because while everybody else was hiding, he was on Golgotha's hill. Y'all listening to me? Why Peter was hidden and repented for what he done. Why Matthew, Mark, and all of them were gone. John was there by the mother of Jesus. While everybody else was saying, crucify him, John was right at his feet on that hill called Golgotha, looking up at Jesus. When Jesus looked over at his mom and he said, mother, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother. He was putting a call on her life to take care of his mother. He was there. He saw it all. Brother Gary, he was not afraid of the world, but all his diligence was on Christ Jesus. Nothing could take him away. Y'all got to listen to what I'm saying. People could have condemned not only Jesus, they could have condemned every disciple that was a follower of Jesus. But John said, I don't care, I'll go to the grave with you, because John knew who Jesus was. John was the one who wrote those famous words, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, behold, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John was not afraid of the devil. John was not afraid of Pontius Pilate. John was not afraid of the centurion soldiers. John was not afraid of a soldier's cross. John was not afraid, because he knew who Jesus was. I wish the church of God would be a church full of Johns again. I wish the church would have Johns all in the church, and Mary Magdalene's who would bow at the cross and not be afraid of the centurion sword, but be able to say that I have the sword of the Spirit and I will stand firm on my faith. I wish somebody better tell me to calm down. I'm preaching too hard this morning. I'm preaching too much this morning, because John looked past where he was and he looked for Jesus. This is something that we all have to work on, brothers and sisters. We have got to all look to Jesus, not look to me, not look to Pastor Ryan, not look to the church, look to Jesus. And if we all look to Jesus, the church will be what Jesus needs us to be. If we all look to Jesus, the pastor will be the pastor that Jesus needs me to be. If we all look to him, John was able to be there at the crucifixion, although he could have faced punishment as well. But yet he didn't care, because he looked past the cross and he saw Jesus. Y'all better listen. That day he looked past the fish and he saw Jesus. That day he looked past the uncertainty and he saw Jesus. Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Now, I don't have the notes put together to give to Pastor Ryan today. It's going to be, they'll be posted this week. But if you're taking your handwritten notes, write this down right here. You will keep him in perfect peace. Now, you open up the Hebrew Bible and you read it. It doesn't say perfect peace. You know what it says? It says you will keep him in shalom, shalom. Now, what does shalom mean? Peace. Why did the Bible say he'll keep you in peace, peace? Oh, there it is right there. Someone said it for me. He will keep you in that perfect peace. He will keep you in that complete wholeness. When what is set on him? His what? His mind. Now, I'm going to preach hard right here. Can I preach hard? And I want five of y'all to pray for me right here, because I'm going to have to talk about it again this morning. Where does the devil go? My heart is set on Christ Jesus. My heart is fully established in Christ Jesus. He don't go after my heart. Where does he go? He goes after my... If the devil can ever get in your... He can't make me sick. Y'all bet I'm going to preach it right here. He can't make me stumble and fall. He can't make me fall into sin. But what he can do is he can get into my mind. And if he ever gets into my mind, then he begins to rewrite the story that God has already penned out in his storybook of my life. I wish somebody would listen to what I'm saying right here. The devil ain't after your money. He ain't after your riches. He ain't after your job. He ain't after that. He's after your mind. Because if he can ever get in your mind, he'll begin to make you feel like a crazy person. Somebody better listen and tell me to preach right here. The devil, if he can get into your mind, he'll begin to tell you that you're crazy. He'll begin to tell you that God is a failure. He'll begin to tell you that God can't help you. He'll begin to tell you that you'll always be an alcoholic. You'll always be a drug addict. You'll never be set free. If the devil can ever get in your mind, he's got you in a place where he's got you arrested. Why do you think the devil has gone after our younger generation by getting in their mind. It's not just something that happened. The devil won't see in their mind, because if he can get in our minds, Tanya, he'll begin to try to rewrite our story. But Candy, I got good news for the devil, and it's good news. It's bad news for him. He don't hold my story in his hand. He don't hold the pen of my life in his hand. He's not the one who gets to write down who I am. He's not the one who dictates who I am. He's not the one who's the author and finisher of my faith. But my Lord and Savior is the one who writes my story. The devil doesn't come after my spirit. He doesn't come after my soul. He doesn't come after my heart. But the first thing that he comes after is he comes after my mind. Why do you say that, Brother Tyler? The Bible says we love the Lord our God with all of our mind. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have the mind of Christ. And he said, we do not set our minds on earthly things. We are to set our mind on things above. If the devil can ever get in your mind, he'll begin to make you feel crazy. But when you know that you know that you know that you know, I wish somebody would help me right here. When you know with all of a surety who he is, you don't care how big the lion's roaring. You don't care how tall Goliath is. You don't care how big the armies are. You don't care how heavy the cross is. You don't care how deep the ocean is. You don't care how tall the mountain is. You don't care how wide the valley is. I don't care what the enemy is in front of you. When you know that you know that you know that you know, come hell or high water, I'm going to hold on to him, because he is my God. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Woo. My God, when you know. Oh, when you know. Woo. When you know. I'm glad I know. I'm glad I know. Whew. When you know who he is. Hey, I know you're preoccupied, but there's somebody on the shore, and he's not just a man. When you know. When you know that you know, I have on this 2-month journey that I've been on, I have asked myself the question so many times. You know what I keep reminding myself over and over and over again? You know what I keep reminding myself, Tyler, you know. Sister Malia, you know what I'm talking about. I know. I know that he's there. I know that he comforts. I know that he carries us. But the devil tries to get right in there. And I'm about to say something that's crazy. I don't encourage everybody to do it, because I would almost use the word it's a gamble. I let him talk, because my thought is he's not omnipresent. So if he's wasting his time on me, wasting his breath on lies that I'm not going to believe, maybe he'll leave somebody else alone for a little bit. So I listen. I let him talk sometimes to make a fool out of himself, Paul. Well, God really doesn't know what he's doing. God, if God really did care for you, if God really did do that, because you know what? I look to Jesus, and I live in the revelation that while I may have once been on his chest, Pastor Ryan, while I once may have been sitting right by him at the table, but life has happened to me. Oh my God, I'm preaching some heavy stuff right here. While yesterday I may have been at the table with him and my head pressed against his bosom and feeling the heartbeat in his chest, but today I'm out on a boat and I've been up all night and I ain't got not one catch. There's still something inside of me that when I hear his voice, woo! Hey, why don't you go to the other side? You hear that right there? I wish I was there. I feel like I've lived in this moment right here where yesterday I was there with you, that a couple days before I was sitting at the Last Supper, and I heard you talk, I heard your breath, I heard everything about you. But today I'm over here and I heard a voice say, go to the other side. But all of a sudden something caught my attention. Because I'm living in perfect peace. I'm living in the peace in my mind. And I'm living in this joy. And when I live in the peace of God, can I tell you this right here? When I live in the peace of God, it may be falling apart all around me, but I'll stand still. Because I'm not on the faulty ground that this earth is built on, but I'm built on that everlasting rock. The winds may be tearing the sails apart and the ship may be falling apart, but I'm sailing with the master. It may be looking like certain death, but I'm going to press through and I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. John was on that boat while everybody else did what he said. They begin to get the fish. John looked and he said, I've been here before. I mean, what are you talking about, Brother Tyler? Y'all ever heard of deja vu? I don't really know if that's a Christian thing I should be talking about in church. I don't know. But anyways, go back with me to Luke chapter 5. You remember Luke chapter 5? Peter, I got a scripture. So y'all believe me. Luke 5, Larry ain't here to prove him. I just want to prove him wrong. Luke 5 and 10 says, and also James, John, the son of Zebedee, and they were partners with Simon. They were on a boat one night. And they fished all night. Y'all ever heard this story in Luke 5? They fished all night. And the next day, they're cleaning their nets, and they're tired, and they're worn out, and a bearded man shows up and says, hey, did y'all catch anything? Sir, we have toiled all night, and we ain't caught a thing. Well, hey, why don't you just go out a little deeper? Just go out just a little bit deeper and see what you can get. Sir, we have fished all night and we ain't caught a thing. Just go over there and just see what happens. Luke 5 and John chapter 21 are several years apart. Are y'all catching this right here? But in Luke chapter 5, John was 3 years younger and he heard a man say, why don't you go a little deeper? And then 3 years later, he's on a boat and he hears a man say, why don't you go to the other side? Hang on now. There's a little bit too much coincidence right here. And there was something inside of him, a little revelation began to light up inside of him that if it happened 3 years ago when we didn't have no fish and we had been up all night and we were worn out and Peter was the one who was standing. Y'all seen all these correlations? And Peter was the one who was standing there. And now all of a sudden, the same thing has happened. We've been up all night. Peter is tired. Peter is mad. We ain't caught no fish. There's a man from the shore saying, why don't you go to the other side? Now this is why I love Amanda, and I want you to listen to this right here. Sometimes we want Jesus to show up in this great miraculous way, but sometimes he showed up like the first time he showed up. Sometimes we want the thunderous applause of heaven to come crashing down and completely slap us across our face and make us realize, but sometimes he's still that still small voice who speaks just like he did the very first day that he called my name. Oh my Lord. Sometimes we're looking for God to do these great and wonderful things, but sometimes he's just sitting there. He's just waiting on us to realize who he is. And that the same Jesus who was there at the beginning is the same Jesus who's with me right now where I am. I wish somebody would grab a hold of what I'm saying right here. That's when he went, hey, I need you to listen. That voice over there, I just, can you imagine the feeling that he had? That's just not a man. But I know who he is. He's came to us the same way he came to us before he saved us. He came to us the same way when we didn't know who he was before. He showed up the very same way. I'm going to hold on because I want to holler right here. Because we also read that when Mary Magdalene was at the tomb and John and Peter had left and the angel had ascended and gone away, she sat there. What did she do, Rachel? She cried. And a man came up and he said, why are you crying? And she said, do you know where they have laid my man named Jesus? Do you know where they have laid my Savior? Do you know where they have put his body? And it said that she didn't know who he was because she thought he was a gardener. But when she turned away to walk away, she heard him say, Mary. She heard him say Mary. Now, let me just reiterate this again. He didn't come down with the crashing cymbals of heaven. All he did was say Mary. He didn't come with the rolls of crumbling mountains. He just said Mary. He didn't come with the rolls of thunders of chariots. He just said Mary. And there was some of you need to stop listening for a sound and listen for a whisper. Some of you need to stop looking for the trumpets of Zion and start listening for a name to be called. Some of you need to stop looking for the great and miraculous things to happen and just listen for his voice. Oh, my Lord. Oh, God gives revelations to people who worship. Write that down. He gives revelation to people who worship and not to people who worry. Somebody tell me to say it again. Thank you. God gives revelation to people who worships and not people who worries. Oh, my goodness. Peter was the one who wanted to know who betrayed Jesus, who was going to betray Jesus at the Last Supper. But Brother Danny Evans, what did John ask for? He didn't ask for nothing. He just rested his head against the chest of Jesus. Peter was trying to figure out who was going to mess up, but John was just sitting there worshiping. I'm preaching some good stuff right here. And you know what? I think it's ministering to me a whole lot more than it's ministering to y'all right now, because I'm reading my notes before I even speak them to y'all. Sometimes I get so caught up in the world. Sometimes I get so caught up in worry that I forget his voice. Sometimes I get so lost in the didactics of life and trying to figure out how to guide and trying to figure out that sometimes I am just listening for that still small voice. And I'm going to tell you what God told me yesterday. I was out in the front yard walking Pixie Diane, our little dog. And I was out there and Titus, he was doing something. And I was over here and all of a sudden I was beginning to walk Pixie. And I said, Lord, I said, I haven't heard your voice all weekend. You ever done that before? I haven't heard your voice all weekend. I haven't felt your spirit. I've been at home with no distractions. It's just been me and Titus all weekend. I've been reading. I've been studying. I said, but I ain't heard anything from you. And I heard God speak to me just like this right here. Worship like you come as pure gold. I said, huh? I didn't scream and shout in my front yard. I just began to cry. You know why I began to cry? Because to get pure gold means you have to go through the fire. But you know what I heard, Sister Anita? I didn't hear that I had to go through the fire. I heard to worship as I was pure gold, which means maybe, just maybe, I don't have to be in the fire for right now. Maybe I can just sit back and lift up my hands for just a little bit and throw them up and just begin to say, I just worship you. Angie, you ever done that? I just worship. It's 12 o'clock. I ain't got to the third point yet. Sometimes I just got to just worship him. John said, hey, that's the Lord right there. That's the Lord. There he is. He's standing right there. Now, this is what I love. This is where we see Peter change his mind. This is where you see Peter completely change his personality. Because, Peter, who's going to betray you, Jesus? Who is the one who's going to do that? You'll deny me three times. No, I won't, Lord. Peter was the one when Jesus said, it's time for me to go to Jerusalem to prepare my body for death. No, Lord, you're not going to do that. As long as I'm here, you won't ever face death. He said, get behind me, Satan. Peter was that way. Peter was the one that when Judas kissed him on the cheek and he was given over, what did Peter do? He grabbed his sword and he cut the ear of the man off. And Jesus said, no, dude, we don't do that. Pick the ear up and heal the man. We don't do that. Peter was a very matter-of-fact kind of guy. But I want you to catch this right here. John was living in the revelation. Peter was over here pulling in the surplus. He was doing the adjustments at the man on the shore. It said, when all of a sudden a tap on his shoulder, he looked over, what do you want, boy? That man is Jesus. Now, the Peter that I know, Billy Luster, would have said, we got things we got to do. The Peter that I know, y'all better listen, because I got Peters in the room right now. What the Peter I know would have done. Listen, you don't know for sure if that's him. How do you know that's who he is? But what did Peter do? Peter looked. And this was the moment where Peter had his reaction. In this moment, Peter looked over and he saw that man on that shore. And what did he do? He reached over and he grabbed his coat. And he put his coat on. Next time I preach, we'll talk about dressing for the occasion. He got his coat on. And he put his coat on. And what I love right here is when he began to make his reaction, I think deja vu happened again. What do you mean? He put his coat on because he saw Jesus on the other side of the water. Peter was on a boat before. My God, somebody listen. Peter was on a boat before, but there was a storm that was about to sink his boat this time. There was a ship that was about to capsize because of the storm. And Peter got to the side and he saw a man walking on the water one night. Have I done wore y'all out preaching too long? Y'all done tired? Y'all done worn out? Okay, let me just hit this point right here. We'll come down to the altar. Y'all better have me some shout music today. I want shout music, okay? I want them to shout. We're going to shout. If they don't shout, run. Do something, okay? And what did he do? He looked over and they said, it's a spirit. It's a devil. It's this and that. And he said, Lord, Peter did, if it's you, bid me that I can come out on the water. What are you talking about? Peter, the man who was so matter of fact, was so trusting in this presence from heaven that the storm was there, physics were there, water was there, sinking boat was there, but he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me that I can come out there. And what did Jesus say? Come on. And what did Peter do? Peter took one step out of that boat and he began to walk on the water. Did he walk one step? Did he walk two steps? Did he walk six steps? I don't know how many steps he took. But somebody would say, but he sank, but he walked. I wish somebody would let me preach about that right there. Stop trying to dictate what people did and how people felt. They did more than you ever thought about doing because they... Am I dead? What are you doing? I was not in the spirit on that one. Listen to what happened. I love this right here. Because when he realized who Jesus was, when he realized that that was really him, he didn't have to ask questions. He didn't have to seek guidance. He didn't have to look at the council and say, are we sure this is what he says that he is? No, because John lived in the revelation, but Peter lived in the reaction. You see, because sometimes God will give you a revelation, but don't you sit on a pew with that revelation and not react to it. Because some of you have been given a promise that God delivered you. Some of you have been given a promise that God restored you. God has given you a promise that he has healed your body, but yet you kept the revelation and you stayed in the pew. But some of y'all need to be like Peter, who says, listen, I don't know if I can do what I did before, but I sure am going to try it again today. Give me my coat because I'm going to the master. Give me my coat because I'm getting out of this boat. Yesterday is over. Today is today. And I'm getting to my man whose name is Jesus. Somebody jump up and give God a shout of praise. Somebody jump to your feet and give him a shout of praise. Somebody give God a victorious praise. Come on, living life. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on, let's all stand over the house. Let's all stand over the house. Peter got to a place where he thought, I walked on the water one time and I swam one time. I can walk or I can swim today because I've gone without him too much. I've gone fishing for too long and I'm ready to get back to the place where I know that he is. And he thought to himself, I don't care how deep the water is. I don't care how far I have to swim. I don't care to what length I have to go, but to get to Jesus. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I rebuke any cloudy sight right now that would deflect anybody from seeing you right now. Lord, I want clear skies right now. Lord, clear the skies right now. Lord, don't let there be any hindrances from the shore to the boat right now. Lord, let me hear you. Lord, let me hear you speak. Lord, let me hear you call my name. Lord, let my spirit know that you're here. Lord, but don't let me stay in the boat this morning. But Lord, let me have my reaction right now. Lord, let me step out of the boat. No, don't let me step. Don't let me climb. Don't let me roll out of the boat. Lord, I want to jump out of the boat. Lord, I want to jump out of the boat this morning. I don't want to stay where I am. I don't want to stay in this place right now. Lord, because John knew him as the resurrected man who was on the shore. Lord, but Peter wanted to get to the resurrection. John knew that Jesus wouldn't leave us comfortless, but Peter wanted to get to the source of comfort. So Lord, don't let me stay in the same place that I'm in, but Lord, let me leap and let me get into your presence. Come on, y'all, I want you to lift up your hands right now, because I know there's about 50 people that I know is going to have to be in this altar who would say, Lord, as soon as he tells me, I'm jumping out. Lord, as soon as he says it, I'm coming down there. Lord, because I need to leap into your presence this morning. Lord, I need to get there to where you are. Lord, I need to feel your presence again. Lord, I need to feel your comfort again. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I need to feel. I need to hear your voice. I need to hear your call. I need to hear you call my name. Lord, on the count of three, I'm going to open up these altars. I want all of y'all to begin to pray right here where you're standing. Lord, right now, I want you to touch them. Touch me, Lord. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. I don't hear you praying. I want to hear you pray this morning. We're going to have to be Pentecostal this morning. I want us to shake the gates of hell this morning, because there's people in here who, if we don't get them out of a boat, they're going to stay there and they're not going to get to his presence. Come on, saints of God. Come on, you don't have to be the strongest saint to pray right now. I want you to begin to pray. I want you to begin to examine yourself. One, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, God, we're about to open up these altars. And Lord, as we begin to open up these altars, God, don't let me stay in the boat of yesterday. Don't let me stay in the boat of despair. Don't let me stay in the boat of failure. But Lord, I'm getting out of the boat. If I walk, I walk. If I swim, I swim too. God, I don't want to stay the same way I've stayed over the last few days, over the last few weeks. But God, I need to experience your presence. God, I need to experience your comfort. So Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, God, as I step out of my pew, God, I go to experience freedom that comes in Christ Jesus. One, two, three. I want you to step out of your pews and come down here with your hands lifted. I want you to come down here and I want you to say, I'm coming to Jesus. I'm coming to Jesus. I'm getting my victory. I'm getting my peace. Oh, come on, saints of God. Come down here with your hands lifted and with your mind made up. Come down